The following podcast is a B&E Network exclusive. Welcome to B-Movies and E-Books. I'm Craig Wade.
And I'm Brian Allen Delaney.
And this is the start of Spooky Month.
Yeah, second annual Spooky Month.
Yep.
Hashtag Spooky Month.
Yeah, hashtag everything Spooky Month. If you must, talk to us on Twitter.
If you must.
At B&E Pod. Send us a tweet.
Tell us how you're going to celebrate Spooky Month.
Yeah. For us, this year is going to be the same as it will.
Let's
probably
go ahead and
always
say every year.
Yeah. Well, until we run out of books.
No, we go again. And then we start reviewing the ones that you, like, you start reviewing the ones that I read.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, so, yeah. Plus, I mean, honestly, I doubt this podcast will last 50 years or something.
What?
Dude, if I'm a 70, or shit, 50 years, I'll be 80.
God.
If I'm an 80-year-old man talking about B-movies and e-books.
No, by then our kids will have taken it over.
Yeah. Anyway, we should do that.
Yeah, just make them follow in our footsteps.
Yeah,
that's the
groom
way
you, them.
That is the way you get kids to do things.
Yeah, of course.
That's force them to
responsible
do
parenting.
Exactly.
Anyway, no. But yeah, Spooky Month. It started last year. We cover R.L. Stine, Goosebumps stuff.
Yep.
And that's about it. That's Spooky Month.
That's Spooky Month.
Spooky. And so it leads up to Halloween, and that's about it.
Yeah.
So, anything cool been happening since last podcast? All right. Me neither. Except for, actually, I finally gave Scream, the TV show, a try. Like, a chance. I know I initially did a review.
Yeah.
Like, of episode one.
And on bmoviesandebooks.com.
Yeah. And I really wasn't feeling it. Dude, it's pretty good. Like, it's not groundbreaking or anything, but as far as just a TV adaptation, pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really, really liked it. And then after that, I started watching Scream Queens.
Mm-hmm. Which looks terrible.
Awesome. Dude, it's awesome.
It looks so bad.
Give it a shot. It's so good. I mean, it's not so good. It's more comedy than anything.
Mm-hmm.
But it's pretty funny, and it pushes, like, Fox's standards both in terms of gore and language.
Hmm.
Like, it's, I don't know. I figured there's a lot of things that the censors wouldn't be fine with that they are, evidently. But I don't know. I really like it. It's good.
Interesting.
Yeah. I highly recommend people checking it out.
Hashtag Spooky Month.
But yeah, other than that, you want to go ahead and get into it?
Yeah. Do you want to just, like, jump right in?
Yeah, let's talk about the show first.
You want to go show first?
Yep.
And then we'll come back and we'll do books?
Yep.
Oh, so the way these Spooky Month episodes work is a little different than our normal ones. Like, normally we do a book and a movie, right? And so for Spooky Month, for the Goosebumps specials, we each read a Goosebumps and then tell each other about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have not read the one he just read. He has not read the one that I just did. And we watch an episode of the 90s Goosebumps TV show.
Which you, if you have Netflix, you can feel free to jump in and watch
as many as you can tolerate.
Yeah, they're not very good. But yeah,
if you missed out on it last year, the very first one we ever did was Say Cheese and Die from the Goosebumps TV show, which was the very first thing that a young
Ryan Gosling
did. Yeah. So I made him watch that because there's a young Ryan Gosling.
I don't remember the second one we did last year.
I think we did.
Did we just do Horns instead?
No, we had a Horn special edition.
Huh. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Okay.
So the one we're watching for our first episode of Spooky Month
2015
yeah.
was season one I forgot what episode.
I think episode number, 7?
Something like. It was really early. It was Piano Lessons Can Be Murder.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like you picked that because you're a music teacher.
I did.
Okay. All right.
I picked it because like it was actually on my list of ones that I might have read, right? But then I decided to go with a werewolf theme this month.
Yeah.
And picked 2 werewolf books. So I figured this was the best kind of like compromise.
Yeah.
Making you watch this movie or this okay. TV show.
Well, I enjoyed it. So.
Did you?
I actually really did. Okay, so it starts off with a family moving into a new home.
Yeah.
And then you can take it from there.
It's a kid who is an only child.
Uh-huh.
Right?
And his dad hates him.
Yeah, his dad is an ass.
His dad is like, every time, like, he's like, hey, to the kid, and then to the mom behind the kid's back, he's like, dude, our kid is a failure.
Okay, so, all right, so the kid is like, it starts off, and he's in the basement playing in their new house, like, talking to himself, basically pretending, being a little kid. Right. Yeah. You know, he's like 10, 12, maybe max.
And the
right?
dad's like, this son of a bitch don't have a job.
No. No. And so like he hears this piano music, Moonlight Sonata from Beethoven. Right. Coming from this other room. And he goes and he opens like there's this piano and it's got a blanket over it. And he opens the blanket and piano's playing itself and yada, yada, yada. Right.
We've all been there.
And it's a normal 11, 12 year old occurrence. Right. And his dad comes in. Down to the basement, and he's like, hey, what's this piano, right? And he's
the realtor didn't say there was a piano. Exactly.
And then he's and the kid's like, oh, yeah, it was playing a song by itself. And he gets super excited. Like, the dad gets super excited. He's like, a player piano? And then he looks in it, and he's like, this isn't a player piano, and gets all just, like sad, right?
Fucking liar.
Yeah, and then, hold on, though. And so the scene ends, and it goes to the next scene. Like, the dad leaves, right? And then the very next scene is like, him talking to the mom, like the mom and the dad talking, and he's like, a piano that plays itself? This kid is out of his mind. And stuff like that. It's like, he's like, it's a freaking, like, 11-year-old kid. And it's like, oh my God.
I'm demanding paternity tests.
Yeah, the kid, like, the dad is an asshole.
He was kind of a douche.
So anyway, he was like, the kid should be out playing sports. And it's like, what?
Well, I mean, no one wants a kid that's just a straight up shut in, but yeah. I didn't feel like this kid was.
No, he wasn't. He was doing the best he could with being moved into a new house and not having any friends yet.
See, as a kid, I think I was a lot more outdoorsy. Now I'm a shut in.
Yeah.
You went full circle. But I think that's normal, right?
I think so too.
Yeah. Anyway, but no, like the dad was a douche.
Yeah.
And the totally. Mom seemed like she just kind of didn't care about anything.
She was like set dressing.
Yeah, she was a Stepford wife or something.
Which is funny because that kind of plays into the book that I read later. But anyway, so he goes outside, like the kid goes, Jerry, I think it was his name. Something like that. He goes outside. He starts playing like baseball by himself, right?
Which was the saddest thing because if that dad actually wanted him to do anything, he could have played catch.
He could have gone outside and played catch with him.
Like, why does our kid suck so bad? Oh, well, I'll continue not taking an interest in him.
I'll just be an absentee father. God. Anyway, so he goes and plays outside. And then this girl comes by and like, she's like, oh, you're new in town, right? And he's like, oh, cool, you know, is this girl. And then he immediately is like, I have a piano that played by itself. You know, and it's like, yeah, why would you say that?
Yeah. But,
and then the girl's like, cool, you know, if you play, maybe we can jam sometime. And he's like, awesome. And so then he decides he wants to learn piano lessons.
Dude,
so
if I had a ghost playing piano in my house, I would want to, like, duet with it.
Yeah, why not?
Right, yeah.
Now, okay. So at this time, though, whenever it first showed the piano playing by itself, mm-hmm. It did have a ghost in it already. Like there was a ghost that appeared. And so the movie or the show's 4 minutes into it and it's already got the ghost. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But in all fairness, it only has 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. So.
And in all fairness, it becomes much later. It's apparent that it's not about ghosts really at all.
No, not at all.
So he goes to this like weird music lessons place that looks like it's the back of an abandoned warehouse.
Yeah, and it's like Mr. Shriek's
School of Music. And like his mom just totally drops him off with this guy
that who's looks straight like, up pedophile.
Yeah, he's
right?
a Did pedophile. Yeah. he's like in a bright colored suit, and he's like grabs his hands and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
he looks like
hands.
He looks like the Quaker Oat guy, right?
Kinda,
but less grizzled.
Quaker Oat guy wearing like a Willy Wonka suit,
and so. So the mom takes him there, and in front of the mom, he just starts grabbing the kid's hands and like caressing him and stuff.
Yeah, and he's like, "With these wonderful hands,
yeah, look at these hands. Oh, they're so soft." And the mom's like, "All right, bye.
Yeah, see you later. Have fun at your like." The guy's like, "Pick him up in an hour," and she's like, "Cool," and leaves.
me and your father gonna go look for some replacement kids.
Yeah, we're gonna go shopping at the orphanage. But it's like it was ridiculous, right? And so.
I was just picturing an orphanage set up a lot like a dog pound.
It's in cages.
Please buy. Like, anyway, yeah, that's sad.
Yeah, way to go, Craig. But like, what are
they gonna go buy a kid?
Hey, you gotta pay like there's money you have to pay.
It's adopting, dude.
It's an adoption fee. That's still buying a kid.
Yeah, yes. Okay.
So, like, whenever they get to Shriek School of Music, right, it's like, I don't know, state of the art in quotation marks, like security system, and they've got to be like buzzed in, and like there's this robot guard and stuff. But like he gets done with his music lesson and he decides to go explore, right? Because apparently his mom left him there for over an hour and she was late picking him up with the pedophile, right? And so he goes down into the basement, right? And gets attacked by a robot.
Of course.
Like a literal robot. Okay, so now the story is much less about ghosts and more about robots.
Yeah, like what's going on with that robot?
Yeah, and then like he meets the janitor, right?
Before he meets the janitor, the piano teacher's like, just starts talking up the janitor and touching this kid's hands.
Yeah, like, he's like caressing the kid's hands. And he's like, our janitor, I forgot his name. He's like, our janitor's like, electrical genius. He can build whatever you want.
Yeah, why don't you come see him in his rickety basement? Like,
it's so weird. And so he meets the janitor, right? And he starts talking about Mr. Shriek, whatever. Mr. Screech. To the janitor, and the janitor's like, oh yeah, he's harmless. I programmed him that way. Like as a joke.
And you're like, what?
Yeah, and then like I don't know. Like it gets really weird all of a sudden because like the kid doesn't want to do the lessons anymore.
Yeah,
right?
because he sees the ghost and the ghost is like, stay away.
Yeah, the ghost is like, yeah, yes.
The ghost says stay away from the like
while she's in the basement.
Yeah. And then he's like, I guess that means stay away from the school where I just went.
What? What kind of leap of logic is that?
Exactly.
I thought she meant away from the piano.
Yep. Yeah, so did I. Like, stay away. This is my piano. I called dibs.
Yeah, exactly. You got ghost dibs on this piano, right? And it's like, okay, so he doesn't want to go back, right? Because the teacher's a pedophile and a ghost told him to stay away. <That's-> And so, like, his mom...
That's not the real reason, but just so matter of fact, because the teacher's a pedophile and the ghost said stay away.
Well, I mean, come on. He goes back.
Dude,
and, like,
I would have left before the lesson started if someone was touching my hand like
that. Yeah, that's weird. You know, like, yeah, that's just weird. And so, like, he goes back to the lesson, right? And the dude's even more handsy. Right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, he gets handsy, right? And he's like, if I had your hands, you don't know what I would do with them and junk like that. And you're like, what? And so he runs, like, away, right? The kid runs away, and he goes back down to the basement, and he opens up this door, and it's the coolest part of the whole entire episode, right? He opens it up, and there's, like, this room full of, you know, like, 8 grand pianos or whatever, and there's disembodied hands playing them. And it was the best thing I've ever seen.
I did love that.
Yeah, I was like, this is amazing. And then it turns out, right, like, Because the teacher guy runs down and he grabs him, and the kid like jerks away and it pulls off his hand, right? Mm-hmm. And then it turns out he was a robot, and the janitor did build him.
Right. He's like, "What? I told you."
Yeah, and he had been and then the janitor was all about the kid's hands.
Yeah,
right. And he had been stealing kids' hands and like animating them with robot parts to play piano for him.
Yeah.
What?
Exactly.
And then the ghost comes.
Yeah, and then the ghost comes between them, and the ghost is like, you know, run, and I'll take care of him. And then the ghost puts him in some sort of weird purgatory.
Yeah, well, the ghost comes after him, and she has her hands cut off.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, did you notice that?
Yeah.
So, like, he had cut off her hands, I guess?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Kinda? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe?
It didn't explain that ghost well enough, but...
Yeah, and also, how was the ghost playing piano without hands?
So, yeah, I was thinking that, because we saw her hands earlier. Yeah,
what the poop?
Maybe freaking, like, you ghost can, like, afterlife. Change. Yeah, she just kind of... does some stump into a hand.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know.
I mean, it makes sense. Yeah. Beetlejuice did crap like that.
Yeah. So,
all right. Anyway. Plot hole averted.
So the ghost puts the guy in some sort of purgatory that's not clear if the guy's dead or if he's just, like, stuck at his school playing these pianos. And she's like, you'll play for all of eternity.
Yeah, because it was, like, his teacher or something.
I guess he cut his teacher's hand off.
I guess.
I don't know.
But it turns out he was a lazy student.
Yeah.
And didn't want to practice. And so he just cut off people's hands and turned them into robot hands.
Yeah. And I was thinking about it. Like, he may have been a lazy student, but he was a good entrepreneur.
Yeah. He could have made, like, some money playing, like, I guess.
Designing robots and.
Yeah.
And.
I guess maybe artificial limbs.
Yeah. I don't know.
I guess.
Either way, long story short. All in all, 5 stars.
No, so then they get back home, right? And then he's playing catch with the girl who finally shows back up again, right? And then, like, she throws him the ball, and he grabs it, and she's like, nice hands. And then there's basically, like, a wink to the audience.
Yeah.
And that is how that episode ends.
I was kind of hoping that, okay, she would throw the ball, and he'd catch it. Yeah, he'd miss it, and his dad would be like, you're a failure.
No. Fade to black.
No, like, he catch it, and she's like, nice hands, and then she goes over and starts, like, touching his hand. Oh. So that's...
And then, like, freeze frame on, like, a hug or something, but you see her eyes, and they turn red because she's a robot.
Yeah, exactly. Something.
Something like that.
Nope.
Or, like, she could have thrown the ball, he could have caught it, but she threw it too hard, and it broke all his metacarpals, and he could never use that hand again.
Yeah.
Get like a real Twilight Zone twist at the end there.
Or just straight up just a drive-by shooting. Like, well, that wasn't a clean ending, but it ended it. So anyway, yeah, I guess that was
Piano Lessons or Murder. It had.
Would you recommend anyone watch it? I would.
Yeah, that one was so absurd.
It was very enjoyable.
I liked it, actually. It was like, it was one of those shows, though, where you're watching it, and the whole time you're watching it, you're like, what am I watching?
Yeah, I didn't know if it was about ghosts, pedophiles, or robots.
Yeah, or robot pedophiles.
Ooh, the ghost of a robot pedophile.
It was so all over the place.
Let's write a book called The Ghost of a Robot Pedophile.
And then not have it be any of those things.
No. Plus, just the word pedophile on a book title, probably not a good idea.
Probably not. Okay. Then we take a page from R.L. Stine and write a book about something and then have it be about not what you think it's going to be about at all. You know?
Well, I mean, the Piano Lessons, had he gone long enough, they would.
I mean, I guess.
Had he not had a ghost to save him.
And you could say that the Piano Lessons were the murder, or like were murder for that ghost.
Yeah.
And all the countless other kids that this guy.
Yeah.
Because you know, he didn't perfect like the hand the hand thing, turning them into robot hands at the first kid.
No.
He probably killed.
So there were 8 perfect pairs of playing hands.
Yeah. And he probably killed several kids before them to get
beta testing.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Huh. So, okay. Do you Well, all right then. But and once again, like the subtext of these Goosebumps stories, like if you start really thinking about them, end up being a lot worse.
Why?
I don't know. Like I remember whenever I did like I Live in Your Basement and stuff, that one ended up being like, when you thought about it, like way creepier than you thought it was going to be. But this one's like, how many kids did this guy kill? This was a child murderer.
And we'll be back. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I don't have answers.
Cool.
Only R.L. Stein does.
Yeah. And sadly, he won't retweet our tweets. He won't respond to our tweets. Do you want to come back with yours or mine?
I don't care.
Okay. We'll be back with some sort of Goosebumps book.
All right. That was the Misfits with Monster Mash off their album Project 1950. It's not a good Misfits album, but that's where that came from.
But arguably, it's still better than the original version of Monster Mash.
Yeah, arguably.
Arguably.
You could say that about anything, though.
Anything is better than the original version of Monster Mash.
No, just arguably.
Yeah.
Huh. I'm going to start doing that. Like just contradicting people and be like, yeah, arguably, yeah, I don't know. Like,
arguably, Donald Trump could be a good president.
All right, so
tell me all about The Girl Who Cried Monster.
The Girl Who Cried Monster by R.L. Stein. It's like spooky month.
It's like a fourth grade book report.
Yeah,
The Girl Who Cried Monster.
Okay, so there. God, let me pull up something real quick. I forgot the people's name because honestly,
that's why I highlighted all mine.
Okay, so the main girl in this book is called Lucy.
Lucy, okay.
Called, not named. Her name's Sarah. She's just called Lucy. So anyway, she's obsessed with monsters.
Okay.
And her brother, like Aaron, is always around, and she's like all the time, just like trying to scare him with monsters. You know.
So is she like a horror movie buff, or is she like?
She just
physical monsters.
No, she doesn't really talk much about horror movies. Talks about how she was excited to read Frankenstein because he's a monster, and yeah, like she's just obsessed with monsters.
She's missing
monsters.
The whole point of that book.
And so she was like, well, she hadn't read it yet.
Okay.
So. Anyway, but yeah, so she's like telling her brother in the beginning of the book, they live in a place called Timberland Falls. And she was telling him about the Timberland Falls toe biter and that it bit off four of the neighbor's toes. And she's like, oh, what's that? What's that? Oh, God, he's getting my toes. And the brother looks and she had buried her toes down in the dirt. And he's like, ah.
How was her brother younger?
I think he was like 17. No, I'm just kidding. No, I don't know.
He's a senior in college.
Yeah, he's finishing his thesis.
His PhD
on pants shitting fear. So she's part of this program called the Reading Rangers.
Okay.
And her parents are always on her case about about her talking about monsters way too often. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so
what is the deal with these parents and like shitting on their kids like likes and interests?
Well, because the girl's causing trouble. Like they have to deal with the kid's psychological mm-hmm. ramifications from his sister always being like, there's a monster everywhere.
Yeah.
So one day, like, her brother's name is Aaron. I don't know. There's an Aaron, there's a Randy. One's a friend, one's a brother. Who knows? And it'll never be solved. But anyway, Mr. Mortman.
Mortman?
Mortman.
Okay.
He's the librarian at this summer Reading Rangers program.
Uh-huh.
And she, like, half reads his books and half doesn't. like, you know, if it's one like Frankenstein, she'll thumb through it. But if it's Huck Finn, she just like, eh.
Yeah.
And so she cheats. Same way we used to cheat on like the, or just guess on a bunch of AR reading tests. Yeah.
I took so many tests without reading those books.
Yeah. Because if she read 6 books throughout the summer, she would get a free book.
Yeah. Because those tests, like the negative scores didn't count against you.
Yeah. But in this, she had to pass Mr. Mortman's psychological testing. Not psychological. I mean, he kept grabbing her hands. So anyway, so she goes, like, what's the deal with parents dropping their kids off at places and being attacked by figures of authority in R.L. Stein's novels?
I don't know.
So
it's all over the place, though.
Yeah, and parents are always out of touch, and there's always a brother or a neighbor or a friend. I mean, I guess everyone kind of has that, yeah. But still, I don't know.
It's like the kids have parents and brothers or neighbors.
Tell me more about this orphanage. I don't know. She drops him off there, and she stays too long in the library after hours. Like, he doesn't know she's in there, and she sees him. Like, no one really likes Mr. Mortman because he has turtles on his desk and he stinks. And the library kind of looks like a haunted house. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, and they're not like nice about Mr. Mortman at all. They're like, yeah, he's wearing like sweaters. Like, he just looked like a fat piece of shit in these and these turtleneck sweaters and stuff. Like, literally one of them, I highlight one of the things. It says, "Oh, I see," Mr. Mortman replied thoughtfully, rubbing his chins. Yeah, so they're mean about Mr. Mortman.
R.L. Stein's mean about Mortman.
R.L. Stein's straight up fat shaming. You heard it here. So anyway, so
20 years ago.
So she stays too late in the library, and she sees Mr. Mortman, like, all of a sudden his eyes, like, his mouth turns into like a giant hole, and his eyes start bugging out, and he turns into a monster.
Yeah.
And he takes a jar of flies that were for his pet turtles. And just starts eating him, and she's like, ah, and runs out. Okay, so she runs home, tells her mom and dad, like, hey, I don't want to go to the piano school. I mean, the thing anymore. It turns out the guy's a monster, and they're like, you and your monsters, shut up, you know. And so anyway, they kind of tune her out as they. You know, shouldn't, but as they tend to do in R.L. Stein books. And so she's like, you know what? Nah, I'm going to make sure I wasn't seeing things. So she does it again, goes to the library, stays after. I'm cutting out most of the plot, but, you know, these are the big points. So she goes again, and she sees this time, same stuff happens, it closes. Only this time, he picks up one of the turtles and eats it, like smashing the shell in his teeth. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, oh my God, he really is a monster. And so she runs home, and he follows her, and he's like, hey, what's up? And she's like, nothing, I just left. And he's like, I think you left your backpack. And she's like, no, I didn't. He's like, yeah, he did. And so anyway... So then she's like, my parents are never going to believe me, but guess what? I'll go ahead and, you know, take a picture of them. So she goes again to the library, stays after hours, hides up in the stacks this time.
Okay.
And so anyway, so she gets a picture.
Wait, where was she before?
I don't even remember.
Like 2 feet away from him?
Well, she was behind like some of the aisles and stuff, okay. But like she's like literally on the top of the shelf and stuff.
Okay.
So anyway, she takes a picture of him. And then goes home. She's like, let's get this stuff developed. And her parents are like, no, why? And she's like, I'll tell you later. And then they're like, no, tell me now. Otherwise, we're not going to take you. And she's like, crap, the loot, you know,
what a fatal loophole,
flaw in my plan. And so anyway, she's finally
kids wouldn't like be able to deal with this today.
No, I know. They just... on their cell phone.
Bingo.
And there, it's gone viral, Mr. Mortimer.
Yeah, they could have live streamed it to YouTube.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, so anyway, gets the picture developed and starts talking about all the Chinese food that they were eating while waiting. Yeah, this one just kind of goes tangents big time. It was almost like he was just like, and then this could happen, and then maybe this could happen. And then, so anyway, So then the pictures finally developed. It cost her dad $14. He's pissed at her. Yeah, I know. But anyway.
That's just odd that that's even like relevant enough to be in the story.
Yeah. No, literally. They're like, hey, yeah, this is going to cost $14. And she's like, but I'm out of money. No. And then she's like, but then my dad paid.
Was that one of the cliffhanger endings?
No, it was in the middle of the chapter, but it was set up the same way. But it's like, but he paid. And then it turns out that, like, the picture was crystal clear, but he wasn't in it because he's not.
You can't photograph monsters. Yeah, you can't
photograph a monster.
That was a rookie move.
Yeah, so then she's like, well, my parents trust the neighbor guy, so he can come with me. So they go again, trying to catch him. And then they follow him home.
Was this like the Randy character or whatever?
Yeah, Randy or Aaron, okay. One of the two. The one that's not the brother.
Yeah.
So anyway, he's like, monsters are stupid. You're stupid. You know, like the whole time because he's real logical. Mm-hmm. And so then he holds her up and she peeks in his window and she sees him.
They're at his house now?
Yeah. And same thing. I mean, he just starts, you know, gobbling crap. And so she looks too long at him, and it turns out that, you know, he's like she looks too long, and then the neighbor gets scared and runs away. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, oh crap, but he never really got a clear look. But the neighbor, then something happened, maybe I forgot what happened, but yeah, he verified that he was a monster. So he tells the parents, and then the parents invite him over,
of course, because he's a monster.
Yeah. To solve it once and for all, and then it's the like parents
a lost boys type situation here.
Yeah, pretty much. And so they invite him over, and then they invite him over for like, and then they invite him over again. they invite him over four times. No, and so anyway, they have him over for dinner, and then the parents straight up eat him.
The parents eat him?
Yeah. They're like, the parents.
Wait a second. So it turned out they were monsters?
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's real weird, man. Like, okay. So
that just kind of came out of left field.
Yeah. Okay. So it's like, okay, let me see. Mr. Mortimer says, you know, I didn't hear you correctly. What's for dinner? And the dad says, you are. Oh, Mr. Mortman let out a little cry and turned bright red. He struggled to raise himself from the low couch. But Mom and Dad, Mom and Dad were too fast for him. They pounced on him. Their fangs popped down. And they gobbled the librarian up in less than a minute, bones and all. Randy, her brother's Randy, laughed gleefully. I had a big smile on my face. My brother and I haven't gotten our fangs yet. That's why we couldn't join in. Well, that's that, Mom said, standing up and straightening the couch cushion. Then she turned to Randy and me. That's the first monster to come to Timberland Falls in nearly 20 years, she told us. That's why it took so long for us to believe you, Lucy. And it turns out that, like, they didn't want her talking about monsters because, like, then people would think that there are monsters and, like, witch hunt them. So that was the end of that one. The girl who cried girl who cried monster.
Librarian.
He's a librarian. Get him.
Okay, so what?
Exactly.
So was there any sort of indication in the rest
none,
of the book?
None.
It just kind of came out of nowhere.
No, they were eating Chinese food the chapter before.
Like he painted himself into a corner.
Yeah, and he's like, well, they could be monsters, too. Like, shit, could I send her for the fifth time to see? Will they buy it?
Okay. Yeah. So they were like monsters that killed other monsters to keep their town safe.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
So they were like Blade.
I guess. It was odd. But yeah, that's the girl who cried monster.
So did you like it?
I knew it was coming. I didn't realize. You knew that. Well, I'd seen the episode, but I didn't realize that was the one I was reading. Plus, I remember owning it as a kid.
Yeah,
and this is the one, like, every time I mention Goosebumps around my dad, which happens more often than you would think, he's like, I love that one where they invite the monster over and then eat him. So once I realized that, you know, the librarian was a monster, I was like, I wonder if this is the same one, but yeah.
weird.
Yeah. No, I like it. I mean, I don't know. It's a Goosebumps.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to say now. I was kind of like, I mean, not that I had that many questions about it because it seemed sort of repetitive.
It was very repetitive. Like, I hated.
But now I'm just kind of like, I don't know what to think anymore. Because, like, I was going to ask, what do you think the moral of the story was? Like, if, you know, if he turned out to actually be a monster, right? Or whatever. But
see, you know what kind of pissed me off is it was like a witch hunt on him, on the monster. He didn't do anything wrong. He didn't hurt anyone. Yeah, he made every attempt to hide his monsterisms from the public. Yeah, and
he was just being a librarian.
Yeah.
Not hurting anybody that we know of. He ate
a turtle, and all of a sudden, they want to kill him?
Lots of people eat turtles.
Exactly. I mean, we eat cows all the time.
Yeah.
Dude, I heard a story this week.
Go on.
There was, like, this family in India who they accused a guy of eating beef at church, and they stoned him to death.
Yeah, I saw that. So, on Reddit.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll be back with you.
Okay, are we done with yours?
Well, I mean, it was kind of frustrating because I just kept being like, you know, who cares if he's a monster? He's not doing anything.
Yeah.
It's not like there were you know how they could have solved that, like, and made you feel for the main character a little more?
Like if, like, pets were missing exactly, and stuff like that?
Exactly, if pets were missing. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah. As an easy way to do it.
Yep.
And it's an idea.
He bought his own pets and ate them.
It's an idea that my book actually uses.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. So, would you recommend it?
Yeah. I mean, I'd recommend every Goosebumps I've ever read. Yeah. So, yeah.
It kind of goes without saying. Mm-hmm. All right.
It's not, but I mean, it's not good, but.
It's not your favorite Goosebumps. It's no Haunted Mask.
No. No, the Haunted Mask was, you know, too scary.
Yeah, it is way too scary.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, well, do you just want to come back with mine?
Sure.
Or are you got more? You got more to say?
No.
Okay.
All right.
Well, we'll be back in a second with the Werewolf of Fever Swamp.
Soho in the rain. He was looking for the place called Lee Ho Fooks. Gonna get a big dish of beef chow mein. Howling around your kitchen door. You better not let him in. Little old lady got mutilated late last night. Werewolves of London again.
Okay, and that was Werewolves of London by Warren Zevon. Zevon? I think it's Zevon.
Yeah.
I don't know what album that's off of.
No, it's off an old one.
And honestly, I don't think I've ever even heard anything else by him.
He wrote Poor Pitiful Me. I know that about him. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But I think he did. He did a really interesting episode of David Letterman.
Really?
Like, yeah, he was dying of something. What? Well, no, he was dying of something, so David Letterman evidently was, like, friends with him and brought him out as the only guest. Mm-hmm. And so he talked with him for, like, 20 minutes, and then the rest of the episode was just him playing songs one last time. He's like, you won't see me after this.
Wow.
Yeah, and he died, like, a year later, 6 months later. But, yeah, it was really, like, crazy.
Huh.
Eh. Anyway.
Way to bring it down.
And then, yeah, I gained lots of respect for him after watching that, and then, Kid Rock bastardized his song for that one.
Yeah.
It was like that and Sweet Home Alabama, which kind of were the same.
Yeah.
But
I don't hate this song.
Nah.
No. I mean, it's fun, I guess. Yeah. It's a weird song about werewolves and then, like, a queen.
We could have done the Adam Sandler version.
No.
Adam Sandler straight up covered this song and released it.
Okay, so I'm dealing with the Werewolf of Fever Swamp.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I will go ahead and spoil one thing for you. It is like 24 chapters long. It mentions werewolves for the first time in chapter 20. Yeah. The whole book is more of a like kind of detective like story.
But it's kids, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So
it's like a hard boiled.
Yeah.
Who killed my wife? Damn it.
Must have been a werewolf. All right. So it starts with a kid and mm-hmm. his family moving to a new town.
No way.
I know, right? No, they're moving from like Virginia or something like that to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Into the swamps in Florida, basically, is where they go. So it's a kid named Grady and his older sister, Emily, and his mom and dad, who I don't even think are named.
Right? Really?
Well, I mean, they're always named mom and dad.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so his mom and dad are scientists, right? And they moved to Florida because they are raising swamp deer.
From
Argentina or something, and they're putting them in the swamps in Florida to see what happens, like, quote unquote, basically, like, it's not for any particular reason. It's just straight up. We're going to see what happens when we put these deer in this swamp and disrupt the local wildlife. Okay. So, you know, like scientist things.
Well, that kind of happened with snakes in Florida.
Yeah,
they've taken over because.
Like boa constrictors and stuff like that.
Because a place flooded and then the snakes got out.
Yeah.
And yeah, they've taken over.
So anyway.
Just another reason to stay the hell out of Florida.
Basically. So it starts off with Grady and Emily going to explore the swamp, right? And they do for like five chapters, right? It's basically just them hanging out in a swamp. And it's actually, like, I was surprised it was really well done. Right. It was like kids hanging out in a swamp, but it was like you really got a sense for the swamp. There was a lot of.
Well, I would hope so. There's five chapters
yeah.
of it.
I mean, we're talking Goosebumps chapters here, so it's not like it's like a lot, but so it's still. Like,
there was algae and it was yuck.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like that. But I mean, it's still a good fifth of the book is taken up by this like initial foray into the swamp. Right.
Yeah.
And so it's well done, though. I mean, like, you got a sense of what the swamp felt like and jump.
Do they
like
find
that.
A corpse or anything?
They find a shack built out of like
swamp, corpses,
swamp materials. Right. And then they go like look in the shack because why wouldn't you? Your kids in the swamp. Right. And this guy jumps out of it. Right. And he's like, what are you doing in my house? Like sort of thing. And he chases them away and whatever. And so they get home and they're like, hey,
is the swamp named Fever Swamp?
Yeah.
OK. I would assume so.
Yeah. But... You learn that way later, though. Okay. So they get home. Right. And he tells the mom and dad like, oh, we saw a swamp hermit and stuff like that. And a guy in the swamp. And the dad's like, oh, that's the swamp hermit. I hear he's harmless and stuff. And there's like, what?
Damn, the damn parents.
because like the dad told him to go explore the swamp, basically. Right. And he's like, why don't you guys go hang out and see what's in the swamp? Right. And the girl didn't even want to go. And he like the dad made her. And stuff.
Yeah. And, like, I don't value your life.
So unless he heard about the swamp hermit while they were in the swamp, then that means he told him to go out there like with some crazy guy that lives in the swamp. Anyway, so.
But don't think about that too
hard. Yeah, don't think about that too hard. So he goes into the swamp, right? And like the whole. At first, it started with him like hearing howls. Right at night, and he's like, oh, these howls like forever changed my life or whatever, right? Because it's written like in the past tense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But then you know you don't
does it end with and now I'm the werewolf of Fever Swamp?
Are you gonna just spoil
does
the
it?
Whole movie? The
does
whole
it?
Yes.
No, really?
So
I got all that just from past tense.
So he goes in the swamp, whatever, and like the next day he meets like this dude, right? This other kid on the street, and like they start becoming friends, and then they go into the swamp one day, and then like he hears howling again. Like every chapter is basically him waking up from hearing howling, basically, which is weird. Well, not every chapter, but there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
And so they hear like scratching at the door and howling and stuff, and everybody's freaked out. And then there's like this dog that shows up, and you're like, oh, is the werewolf the dog? Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and like, they find in the wood, and they go, they keep going back into the swamp.
Of course,
like, because
they're children
happened.
And they're by a swamp.
Exactly.
And it's like us with the woods.
We were just in the woods all the time.
And I was highly susceptible to poison ivy, yeah. And I never learned my lesson.
No, we went like every day.
I would go and then be like, I don't know where I keep getting it, and have to get cortisone shots like 4 times a year.
And then we would just go back into the woods.
Yeah.
So they go back into the woods, and they find like a dead bird, right? Like ripped apart bird. And there's dog prints all over it, right? And then they see the hermit. Well, they see the hermit first, and he's covered in blood, like on the front of his shirt, right? And he's got like a bag, and he's going off into somewhere he doesn't see them. And then they find the dead bird, like it's a crane, like ripped apart. Right. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, oh, he must be killing all these birds or whatever. And then over the course of the book, basically, you have them going in and out of the woods, finding dead things. He mentions like a rabbit almost ripped in half. And I think it might still be alive. And it's probably one of the most gruesome things I've ever seen described in an R.L. Stine book. But like, one of the deers gets eaten. Like, he keeps seeing things outside at night. They keep hearing howling. Everybody thinks it's the dog doing it, right? Which, by the way, he names the dog Wolf, and it's dumb, right?
Yeah.
And because then he keeps talking about, like, he keeps talking about whether or not wolves have done it, and he keeps hearing a wolf, but then it's not his wolf. It's just wolves. You know,
because my wolf is a dog.
Yeah, and so sometimes wolf will be capitalized, and sometimes it won't, and it's just name the dog something else.
I wish that the werewolf were named dog, or like the werewolf was named dog.
Yeah, and he's hi, like, I'm Dr. Dog, the werewolf.
like I didn't know if it was Wolf that did it or the damn dog werewolf.
Just get as confusing as you can with it.
Yeah.
So the dad thinks that the dog is killing everything, and like that he got into the deer, right? Because like the dog had broken the house up a lot, like he broke a lamp and knocked over a table and stuff because they kept him inside at night, right? And he wanted to be out because he was an outside dog, because it was a stray that they just found.
Yeah, he's just a feral dog.
Yeah, yeah, he's just a straight up feral dog that they found. And so like all this weird stuff is happening.
Did they ever talk about the deer again?
Yeah, deer were in it a lot, actually.
Okay.
Like, way more than you. Well, it was just deer in a pen. And
oh, really? Yeah. I thought you meant they were like, go, fly.
No, that's what they were going to do. They were going to put transmitters on them and release them into the swamp to see what happened.
Uh-huh.
And they just never did that second part.
Well, maybe at the end of the book they were gearing up to do. Maybe. We don't know the scope of the study.
But... So everybody's freaking out about his dog, and they want him to get rid of it because he keeps killing rabbits and junk like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the only other indication of werewolves is like he keeps saying that the howling sounds too human and stuff like that, right? Yeah. And so then they meet this girl who had been mentioned before, like his friend Will had mentioned that there's this girl that lives on the block too, but she's a weirdo,
yeah,
right? And so they meet her in the swamp one day. Because she's just in the swamp, like you do. And she was like, oh, yeah, that's just, and, you know, that howling at night is just the werewolf. And then they're like, what? You know, and so, like, he's like, oh, man, there's a werewolf. And then his friend Will is like, don't be dumb, there's not a werewolf. You like my kid voice. And so, like, you can tell, like, the two other kids, Will and Cassie is her name. Uh-huh. I actually remembered these kids' names. Like... you know, they play fight and junk like that. But anyway, so they get into this to their head that the hermit is the werewolf,
Yeah.
Because you would suspect that I it's him.
Yeah.
You know, because he's walking around with blood, right? Killing cranes, probably. You know, but he's also just a guy who lives in the swamp. That's probably how he eats.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Or algae.
Or, yeah, he could just be eating peat moss or out of the peat bogs.
Hi, I'm Peat Moss. I live in the swamp. And my friends call me Duck. I'm like, damn it. No, it's getting too hard. Keep track of to keep track of, like, I hate Peat Moss, but meet my dog Wolf, and like, oh god.
Dr. Swamp Wolf. So like they find the hermit, and then like she's like, oh, he's the werewolf, and then he turns around, he's like, I'm a werewolf, and he starts chasing them and stuff, but he's laughing the whole time, and then like he knocks down the kid, and he's like, I'm the werewolf, and then he's like, whatever, and just leaves, right? Mm-hmm. And then the kid gets bit by a snake.
Right? Really?
Yeah. Out of nowhere. And then he has to go home, and he comes out like limping out of the woods because his friends left him, right? Because he's the new kid.
Yeah. And you always leave the new kid.
Exactly. You don't have an attachment to him yet.
Yeah. And new kids get stuck in the swamp with hermits. It is time. What it is.
And the hermits are always caressing their hands. So he comes limping out of the swamp. Excuse me. And like his friends are like, he was bit by a werewolf, because he was like, I'm bit, right? And they're like, by the werewolf. And his mom and dad are like, whatever, it's just a snake. And so like,
again, horrible parenting.
Yeah, exactly. They literally go, we don't know what kind of snake it was, so we'll put ice on it and see if anything bad happens. It's literally what they do.
Dude, I was thinking about it. If I got bit by a snake, I would have a heart attack. like it could be a grass snake. I don't care. I don't like snakes like so much. I would straight up like have a heart attack. Like, or what would you like?
Yeah, it'd probably freak me the hell out.
But what is your fear? Like, is that your biggest animal fear or no?
Spiders.
Okay. Yeah, we probably feel the opposite about them.
I don't really care that much about snakes.
Snakes scare the shit out of me, and spiders scare you. But I don't like spiders.
Yeah.
Interesting podcast. Get back to the story.
So now he thinks that the hermit's the werewolf, right? Uh-huh. And so there's like a day where it's the last day of the full moon, right? And he hears the howling again. He decides once and for all he's going to go see what's up, right? Mm-hmm. And he goes, and he thinks he sees Wolf, his dog Wolf. Mm-hmm. Right. And he goes and he follows it into the thing, and he's like, you know, he's acting weird, he's pacing around, you know, whatever, it's something's weird is going on. And so he goes out into the swamp to see what's up, and he gets attacked by the werewolf, right? And it's one of the patented R.L. Stine cliffhanger endings, like to a chapter that's not like completely
gonna
negated.
Resolve it next sentence.
Yeah. For anybody who's not familiar with R.L. Stine's writing style,
here, we'll do an example.
Okay.
All right.
So you say
this
a cliffhanger.
Is just the story of our life.
Okay.
Brian walked and came at me with a knife,
and then he cut some brownies.
Yep.
That's like exactly what happens. like every time, like there's like something crazy going on. Like one of like
my favorite though is when they say matter of factly, like. There's a point in this book where she's like, and then I saw a monster, and then open it, and like next page, and it's like, only it wasn't a monster, it was a paper mache.
Yeah, exactly. Mine was the same way. Like, he's like, the werewolves got me, and then it's like, oh, it was just a tree limb.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Yeah.
So anyway, so he goes out there and he gets attacked by the werewolf, and it's actually a real werewolf. Okay, this is the next to the last chapter. The first time you actually see a werewolf, chapter like 23.
Yeah.
Okay. Care to take a guess who it was?
Hold on. Who's my possible choices?
You have, obviously his family could be it. So his sister Emily or his mom and dad. Okay. His friend Will, his friend Cassie, or the hermit. Or a deer. Or I guess the wolf dog. Those are your choices.
Cassie. Will?
Mm-hmm.
So it was Cassie's brother?
No, Cassie and Will were not brothers.
They were just friends. Neighbors,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. So And he was like, oh, even through all the fur, I could recognize Will's eyes and his, you know, haircut and generally that, which doesn't even make any sense.
But, and his pentagram tattoo on his chest.
We're okay. Eight, so by the way. So there was one weird thing about this book is that every time Will came onto the scene, it would describe what he was wearing. But, I mean, it did it to everybody, right? Like, and so
he's
like,
known to do that.
But like, it was weird because it was like Will came up. He was wearing a blue T-shirt and
exactly
and hold on, and Lycra bicycle shorts. So he kept wearing bicycle shorts. Like, out of the three or four times it describes what he's wearing,
yeah,
like three of them are bicycle shorts in different colors.
Like, damn it, we know the freaking werewolf is you. It's always wearing bicycle shorts.
Yeah. It's like, why are Will's legs so hairy? You can see it because he's wearing bicycle shorts. No, anyway, so Will bites him on the neck, right?
On the neck?
Yeah.
Like, rips a jugular.
Yeah, basically, right? And then he comes to... like the next, like in the morning, basically, and he's all bandaged up and everything's fine. And then he's like, Will was the werewolf. And his dad's like, whatever, you stupid piece of crap.
Yeah, I'm not listening to you.
Yeah. And so they go to Will's house and it looks like it hasn't been lived in months. Right. So, ooh, no one was living there. And Will's gone and he never sees him again. And then the dad lets him keep the dog because whenever they were, you know, thinking it was the dog, they were going to get rid of it. Mm-hmm. So he lets him keep the dog, right? And then it ends with him leaving his room on the next night of the full moon, like the next month, right? And it talks about how good it feels that he grows hair or grows fur and, you know, becomes a wolf. And then him and Wolf, his dog, go play in the swamp. And he's like, with Will out of the way, the swamp is mine. And you're like, all mine, you know. And he's like, let's go, let's hurry to Fever Swamp. I'm ready to hunt.
Yeah, it's gonna be real sad, like, you know, part two.
Just gets killed.
No, yeah, he just ate the dog when he's in his little delirium.
So yeah, that was it. It was not really about a werewolf until the very end. But I mean, it wasn't bad.
I love how we put ourselves through a month of lukewarm reviews. Yeah. Like, I'm not giving any of these like so-and-so out of five because it's like, yeah, it's better than a punch in the teeth.
It's Goosebumps, so you know.
So you know, I hate my life.
I mean, the good thing about it, these are really quick reads.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like it takes a week or anything.
They're like 104 pages and it's huge font.
I don't know.
What?
Goosebumps. So it's called Fever Swamp, right? Because 100 years ago, a bunch of people caught fever from the swamp and died. And said, like, a lot of the town died. And then those who didn't die went crazy, is what it said. And they would walk around on all fours and make not human noises. And okay, then
so
die.
They became werewolves, basically.
That's what you're thinking. That's what, like, you think the implication is. Yeah. But it never
but
mentions.
But then you turn the page and it's like, and they weren't werewolves.
They were just brownies. Died.
The people. He jumps from book to book and forgets which cliffhanger he's on.
But I mean, it never mentions that again.
Yeah.
It's got the typical R.L. Stine, like a character comes in from one chapter and you never see them again sort of thing. Yeah. Like the show we just watched is the combined screen total of like the minute and a half that the girl character is in it. And then like the two chapters that this Cassie chick is in mine. It looks like Randy wasn't in yours very much. Like, there's
he was there quite a bit, but he and the brother, other than being afraid of monsters.
Oh, wait, Randy was the brother.
Yeah, I think. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, they were the same character, except for one was afraid of monsters and one was just like, your stupid monsters suck.
So the monster brother was afraid of monsters?
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I don't know why.
Is it sort of like an I Am Legend situation?
Think about it. If they ate the only monster they found, then what's to say that monsters don't hunt monsters more?
Yeah.
You know, the only thing stopping them from eating each other is family.
Yeah. Which you feel like would be pretty tenuous for a monster family.
Yeah. It does seem like, you know, at some point you're going to get mad and end up.
Yeah, fights at the monster family end a lot differently. But I don't know. I mean, like, Fever Swamp, right? Werewolf of Fever Swamp. I think that's what the werewolf in the Goosebumps movie is based on.
I don't know, man.
But if so, he's, like, in it for less than a chapter.
Well, I don't know, man. Like, the Goosebumps movie still does look awesome.
Oh, yeah.
These are very, very preliminary findings.
But
it will suck if after all this time and so much going into it, like, it's just the worst movie ever. I saw a billboard today for it that looked horrible.
Nice.
It's just Jack Black's face. And he was like, and then it's something Goosebumps. And it was like one of those digital signs, so I only saw it for like 2 seconds.
Can we talk for a second, just jumping back to the beginning, to the Goosebumps TV show from the 90s?
Sure.
And I think we talked about this last year, but I just want to bring it up again because it's worth noting how much of a jerk the R.L. Stine character is in those shows, because that's supposed to be him at the beginning in the opening credits.
Like scattering his shit all over the town.
Yeah, unleashing evil upon an unsuspecting town.
Yeah. I love when the dog's eyes start glowing.
And I
like the song.
The song is just ridiculous. Yeah. But anyway, so this is the you know, the kickoff to Spooky Month.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love how this is like, you're right. We go through these books and then we're just like, I don't know, man.
Well, we've always been driven by spite, and most of it's aimed at ourselves.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I would say read some Goosebumps. Or, hey, here's a good idea. Tweet us your favorite Goosebumps memories.
Yeah.
Or favorite titles, or just say Goosebumps. Make sure and hashtag everything Spooky Month.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you've got any comments or whatever, as always, Twitter at BNEPod or Facebook at BNEPod or email if you really want to, but why would you?
Yeah.
I'm not even going to give you the email address.
Yeah. So just send a blank email out there.
No subject or anything.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I've got nothing else.
I'm done.
Listen to the other B&E Network podcasts. You're all fine entertainment.
Yeah.
Like
Long Box Small Talk.
Yeah.
Adventures of Toxic City.
Yeah. And hopefully more on the way.
Yeah.
More shows or whatever. We've got one in the works that might start like next month.
And it may be the best thing ever.
It's a great idea. Kind of.
But we'll see.
But again, it's everything we do is motivated towards spite for ourselves.
Yeah, this is going to suck for us, but it will be a good podcast.
It's a bullet we're willing to take for you, our listeners.
Oh, God.
All right. Okay, I think we're done. All right, see you
the
later.
Podcast you just heard is part of the B&E Network, brought to you by bmoviesandebooks.com.